Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
I know I was told not to introduce, but we do have a guest speaker today. His name is Jonathan. He loves Jesus. So we thank the Lord for that and thank the Lord for him. And I'll turn it over to him now.
See if this works. Is it good? Good morning, everyone. I just want to say thank you, Mosaic Church, for allowing me to come back again. That's by God's grace. So I just want to thank the elders and Pastor Friars. I also want to thank friends who were able to come and support me in this journey. I also want to thank my bride, but she's not here. She had to carry some of the weight with three kids. So let me just pray right now and just invite the Spirit to guide us. Father, we come before you because we need you. We need to hear your voice through your word. We need to understand our purpose in life. And we just invite your Spirit to guide us to understand the truths that would change our lives so that we could touch other lives because of Christ and what he has done. So we invite your Spirit to guide our thinking, to excite our hearts, to convict us, maybe to break us so that you would be exalted and that we would benefit from that. So we just invite your Spirit now. Amen and amen. I was trying to think of a good illustration, but I don't have one. I was going to talk about goals. And so I'm just going to jump in. The message is the goal of life, Christ Jesus. And you're going to understand why it's called the goal of life, Christ Jesus. If you have your scripture, turn to Philippians 3, 12 through 21. You don't even have to turn there because it's going to be on the screen. I was going to talk about in my introduction that we all have goals in life. Whether you know that or not, we have aims, aspirations. If you're single, guess what? One of your goals is what? To look for someone. Not everyone wants to do that, but that has some truth, right? For those who are parents, guess what? Your goal is what? To raise your kids as best as you can so they can contribute to society, to be well-rounded, right? I hope for the parents, that's your goal. For grandparents, your goal is not only to help raise the children, but also your grandchildren in such a way that helps your children. But we all have goals. I was going to talk about my goal as a desire to be a missionary, but now I was like, no, that's too much because that's too long. Your goal might not be spiritually to be a missionary. Maybe your goal is to read the Bible in a year, right? It took me 3 years, but those are goals nonetheless. But the question I propose before you, is there a goal for everyone that supersedes all goals? And we're going to find out in the text that God calls all of humanity to pursue one goal. And it's not so much as a what, it's more of a who. It's Christ Jesus. And for us who are Christians, guess what? That is our purpose and aim, is to pursue Christ Jesus. And we're going to see that. I'm not going to assume everyone here knows Jesus. So if you don't know Jesus, I just want to say thank you for coming. That you would give up a Sunday to hang out and hear the word of God. But for us Christians, we have to get this. We have to understand that there is a goal that God calls us, and we're going to see in the text what Jesus says, excuse me, what Paul says. So let me just open up my word. This is the main point. Paul's goal in life is to be more like Christ while waiting for Christ's return. We're going to see verses 12 through 16. Paul's going to say, hey, there's one aim, one goal that I'm pursuing, and it's Christ Jesus. And then when we look at verses 17 through 21, we're going to see Paul talking about him being an example and following him while waiting for Christ's return. So that's the main point. I want you to capture that. Paul's goal in life is to be more like Christ while waiting for Christ's return. Let's look at the first section. Paul says this, inspired by the Holy Spirit as he wrote this, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true. Paul says this, one thing, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead toward the goal, Christ Jesus. Notice Paul's goal is one thing. It's a person. Notice he says that one thing has two parts. It's a coin. It has two sides. The first part is forgetting what lies behind and pressing towards what lies ahead. That word forget means to not recall, not to remember, to overlook. Paul knew not only in his life, but also the Christian life, there's things in our past that holds us. Now check this out. Early on in the text, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul says certain things about himself, good things. You look at Philippians 3, 5, and 6, he talks about his upbringing. He talks about his culture. Those are good things. He says this about himself in verses 4 and 5, and probably 6, he says this, circumcised on the eighth day, people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. He says that about him. Those are good things. But when you get to verse 7, what does he say? He counts all that as loss in comparison to Christ Jesus. That's a good thing. But Paul wasn't going to allow his culture. He wasn't going to allow his upbringing to focus on those things in the past, but he was going to focus on Christ. Now, let me make this straight. Your culture, where you're from, that's a good thing, but it's not the best thing. It's about Christ Jesus. Not only does Paul talk about the good things, but he hints to some of the bad things. And I don't have time to unpack that, but this you do know for those who are in the faith. There are things in our past, whether it be something someone did to you and hurt you and harmed you, or something that you did to someone, or maybe it's a particular sin that you find yourself doing over and over. Whatever that is, God knows. God knows. And Paul says, you can't be thinking of those things, whether it be a good or a bad thing. He says, you got to forget those things. You got to fight against those things that hinder your future. Now, I don't know if many people know these two individuals, Roger Bannister and John Landy. This was way before my time. In 1954, there was a race. They called it the Miracle Race. Why was it called the Miracle Race? It's because these two individuals ran the mile under 4 minutes. Back then, people thought it was impossible. The gentleman, Roger Bannister, on the right side, he was the first one to break the mile in under 4 minutes. And then months later, or sometime later, John Landy broke his record. Well, there was a Commonwealth game, kind of like your Olympics, and both men were running with other men, and the attention was on these two. Guess what? John Landy was ahead. He was about to win the gold medal. And this depiction captured the defining moment. He was so concerned of the past, he looks back. That's what the statue is. The guy on your left, he looks back. He's about to win the gold medal. He looks back, and guess what? Roger Bannister wins the gold because he was focused on his past. What about you? There's something in your past, whether good, your upbringing, your culture, or something bad that happened to you. Do you remember Paul? What was his name before that? Saul. Do you remember what he was doing to the church? Was he praising God? Was he blessing the church? He was persecuting the church. Not only was he a Jew, a Hebrew, Jesus came through his lineage. That's a good thing. But he also persecuted the church. You talk about shame and guilt that Paul had to deal with. And Paul said, forget what's behind. And he talks about pressing forward. He says, talk about straining forward. One thing, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, toward the goal, Christ Jesus. That was his goal. Notice the conjunction, and. It's just two part. Not only are you supposed to forget what lies behind you, but you're supposed to strain forward. That word strain is to go after, to exert your energy, to stretch out. It's like a runner. When they're about to pass that ribbon, what do? They stretch. And Paul's here to say to the Christians, particularly the Philippian church, you need to use all your energy, all your effort for the goal, Christ Jesus. That's what Paul was about. Let me ask you a question, church, for the saints who are here. Is there something in your past holding you back? It might be a good thing, or it might be a bad thing. Maybe you're a Christian that did a lot of good works. Not that that earns you any favor, but maybe you did something in your past. You reflect, man, those were the good old days. But you know what? You're so focused on that and not moving forward. Is there something in your past that is holding you back instead of moving forward? Because you need to wrestle with that. The Holy Spirit is probably speaking to some of us and saying, hey, you know what? That's why I sent my son to die. To have forgiveness, to have freedom. Paul, one goal in life is to pursue Christ. This should bring us some comfort. Notice what Paul says. He says, not that I am already perfect. I do not consider that I have made it my own. What Paul is saying is like he hasn't figured it all out. That word perfect means to be complete, to arrive, to be mature. You might not know this. But Paul, when he started his journey in faith, when he was justified, forgiven of sin, and made right with God, from that moment in Acts 9 to now when he wrote this letter, guess how many years that was? 30 years. Here is a theological giant, and he says, I haven't figured it all out. That should bring us comfort. I don't know about you. I have never written anything in the Word of God, have you? No, but here is a giant of the faith, and he says, guess what? I haven't arrived there. I'm not perfect. I'm not mature. You can look at Romans 7 and figure that out. There's a wrestle with him, but he knew that he wasn't there. Notice he also says, I do not consider, that word considers to think, to ponder. He said, I haven't made it my own. He too had to do what? Forget what was lying behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. For the goal, the prize of the upward calling in Christ Jesus. Paul knew that. Notice what Paul says also. Even though he knew that reality, he doesn't make an excuse. He doesn't say, woe is me. He doesn't say, well, I can't be mature, so I'm going to just stop. Notice what he says. He says, I press on to make it my own. I press on toward the goal. Let us think this way. Let us hold true to what we have attained. He says what? Press on. How many times? Twice. That word press on is to have a calculated step, to strive. Paul had to think. He had to be intentional. That's what that word, think this way. That idea is to have this mentality, this intentionality. And then the word, let us hold true, that phrase right there is to grasp, to focus on. So if you, to summarize all that, what Paul was saying in one shot, he was saying, forgetting what's behind you, whether good or bad, focus on Jesus. Guess what? You need to have calculated steps. You need to use it all your energy and get after that, particularly Jesus Christ. Church, how are you doing? Is Christ someone that is real in your life? Or is he someone that when trouble comes, that you go to him? And if that's so, that's okay. Just imagine me and my wife being married 11 years. Actually, a little side note, shout out to the brother Bill. Been married how long? 51 years? Hey, that's something to be celebrated. Let's give it to him. Now, that wasn't in the sermon, so we're going to come back to 11 years. That's a free one. So, 11 years. Can you imagine if I said to my wife, when it got hard, come to my wife and sought her out? That would not be good. Or maybe if I talked to her once a week, maybe on Sunday, around 10 o'clock, do you think that's going to fly? No. I'm not trying to paint a guilt trip or anything like that. But if Jesus is important to you, guess what? You're going to go after him. You're going to pursue him. You're going to press on. You're going to take all the energy and move in that direction. Notice Paul says, I press on. He changes from I to what? Us. He knew there were other people who are pursuing Christ. Is that your mentality? Is that how you function? A little unpacking on the word press on. That word press on, I already said, is calculated steps. There was a class I teach at Crosspoint. That's where I'm at. And a taught on how to grow. It's like your Christianity 101, very simple things. And one of the things that we try to teach the people there is this acronym, PPT. PPT. It's not PowerPoint, so it's not that. But PPT. PPT is a plan, a place, and a time. Plan, a place, and a time. What is your plan when you pursue Christ? What is the place that you're going to pursue him? And what is the time? So for me, it's in the morning, Monday through Friday. If you're at my house, which you should never be in my house, but if you were there, hypothetically, if you were there, you would know around 6 o'clock, I wake up, and I meet Jesus on the couch. And that's the place, the time in the morning. And the plan is to read through the book of Acts, which I just finished. But that's my time with him. And I talk to him through prayer, and he talks to me through the word of God. Do you have that? Am I trying to elevate myself? No, because I have issues. My wife can attest to that. But what about you? For those who call themselves Christian, do you have a plan? Do you have a place? Do you have a time? Paul was about calculating. Do you know where he is when he wrote this? He was in prison. He was in prison. And yet he still said, I need to strive. I could have said, woe is me. Or he could have said, like, Jesus, you know, I'm about serving your kingdom and I'm locked up. What's up with that? He could have complained, but he didn't. Forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. For the goal, Christ Jesus. Notice he tells us the why. Why? Why, Paul? Why do you do all that you do for 30 years and you get locked up? The end of your life. Your end of your life, you get locked up. All those things you've done. He says, why? Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Christ Jesus. I hope I can get an amen in here. Amen. Okay, we got over here. Can we get two amens over here? Okay. Because of Christ Jesus. You remember Paul in Acts 8? Giving approval of killing the Christians? He was your modern terrorist, your ISIS, if you will. He was hunting down fools, Christians, making kids orphans or parents widows. Acts 9 talks about he was going to Damascus to kill more Christians, to capture more Christians, to imprison more Christians. But what happens? For those who grew up in the church, you're like, Jonathan, I already know that. That's good. But what happens? Jesus met him where he was. Now, in Acts 9, it doesn't unpack everything, but he would have figured that he had offended a holy and just God. And to offend a holy and just God, there is eternal punishment for offending an eternal God. He would have understood that he deserved hell. He would have understood the need of forgiveness. He wouldn't understand all that. And because he realized what Christ has done and Christ making his own, he's going to live it all out. How about you? For those who confess and profess Christ, do you ever think of those days where you were when Christ met you? Do you ever reflect on those? Because that should be your energy of moving forward and pursuing Christ. So Paul says, one thing, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. The goal, Christ Jesus. It's because of Christ Jesus. As we move on to our second section, we're going to see Paul talk about examples. He's going to talk about enemies of the cross, and then he's going to talk about Christ is coming. Christ is coming. Read with me in verse 17. He says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Notice what Paul says. He says, join in imitating me. Keep your eyes on the example having us. That phrase, joining, imitating me, is kind of a weird word. It has two parts. One is Paul saying, mimic me, but also gather other people to mimic me. Does that make sense? So when he says, join and imitate me, he's saying, like, gather some people to follow me. Now, is Paul being cocky? Is Paul being bold? No, because what did he say in verse 12? I'm not perfect. But he's a concrete reality. In other words, he is an actual person who met Christ. Guess what? When he shares and when he witnesses and people come to faith, guess what? They need someone to follow. Paul was that figure. He says, follow me. Mimic the things that I do. Mimic the things I do. Copy what I do. It's like that game, Simon Says. How many play that game, Simon Says? Simon Says, raise your hand. Okay, there we go. Okay, we're all on the same page. Same thing. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. He says that in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He also says that in Philippians 4:9. What you have learned, what you have heard, what have you seen in me, practice these things. Paul wasn't perfect, but guess what? People were attracted to that. Notice where he goes from singular, talking about himself. Then he says what? Keep your eyes on the example you have in us. There was other people. And if you had time to read the book of Philippians, chapter 2 in the end, Paul gives two examples. He says, Timothy, there's no one like him. Not only Timothy, he also talks about a guy named Epaphroditus. I think that's how you say it, Epaphroditus. I don't know how to say it. But he's another character. And this guy, Epaphroditus, some people think that he was the pastor at Philippi. Guess what he does? He goes all the way to meet Paul, to meet his needs. And Paul says these are two examples to follow. Well, how are you doing? Are you a person who is an example or a person following someone? Because if you're a Christian who's struggling, guess what? I would encourage you to find someone who's passionate about Christ, following Christ, and follow them as they follow Christ. Paul goes on to say this. He takes a turn. He says, for many I have often told you with tears walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Some scholars argue whether these are people that were in the church and they were professing, but they weren't really saved, and they left and they came back and attacked the church. Some argue that they weren't Christians at all, and they just attacked the church. It doesn't matter whether one is true or not, but check this out. What was Paul's emotions? He was broken. He was broken for the enemies of the cross. How about you? How about you? Are you broken for the enemies of the cross? People who hate us? People who don't understand the forgiveness, the eternal life, the sweetness of God's grace and mercy? The joy. Are you broken for the enemies of the cross? Notice what Paul does. He describes them. He says their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory, and they glory in their shame, mind set on earthly things. Their minds are here on earth, the here and now. The destruction here is not talking about annihilation. It's talking about a judgment that will come. That their attack on the church will end one day. You hear about the stories in the Middle East and Malaysia. Our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, getting killed, got their heads chopped off. Guess what? One day that's going to end. That's going to end. See, you and I have the privilege to hear the word of God. We're not going to get persecuted. No one's going to jump in here and start shooting. That could happen, right? But by God's grace and mercy, we have this privilege. And Paul says here, their end is destruction. It's going to come to an end. It's going to come to an end. He goes on to say, their God is their belly. Basically, if you think of your belly, you might be hungry, and guess what? You feed that. The idea behind this is these people were egocentric. They were about themselves. They were so self-centered. Or you could say they were hedonistic, that was their lifestyle. They were all about self-pleasure. And Paul describes them that way. Notice what he says. He says, and they glory in their shame. And I'm going to preface this, okay? Give me some time to develop this, because if you walk away saying, oh, Jonathan says, forget those people, and I'm talking about the enemies of the cross, so I'm just going to give you a heads up. They glory in their shame. The enemies of the cross, they don't see it as shameful. Who does? We do. Why? Because they are not following the design that Christ, God, the Creator, had made them. These are your people who are same-sex attraction, the gay parades. These are your people who are racist, your KKK or whatever it may be. These are your people who are killing infants, enemies of the cross. Now hear me out. Hear me out. That's what they do. That's what they do. But we as Christian, what are we called to do? What is the second commandment, the greatest commandment. What is it? Someone, love your neighbor. These are our neighbors. Your neighbor is not who looks the same. Your neighbor is not really your Christian. It's someone, if you actually read the text when Jesus talks about it, it's others. And guess what? The enemies of the cross, they're the others. These are the people we need to pursue and love and cherish and go after. Get uncomfortable. So I hope when you walk away that I wasn't bashing on same-sex attraction, that I wasn't bashing on those who kill infants. What I'm saying is that though that is a reality, we need to be pursuing them. We need to fulfill the greatest commandment, the second, and love our neighbor. Does that make sense? And if you have an issue or a struggle and it doesn't make sense, I would love to talk with you. Because guess what? What does Romans 3:23 say? For all have sinned, and keep on going, fall short of God's glory. Guess what? Equalizer, we're all guilty. You might not kill an infant. You might not be same-sex attraction, but we all have sins that we are guilty, and we deserve what? We deserve what? Death. Hell. We deserve hell. But God was gracious to us. Should we not be gracious to the enemies of the cross because Paul says that we were once enemies? I know that's a little heavy. I'm going to back away. Take a breather. Okay. We need to love everyone just as Christ loved us. Paul goes on to say this. He takes a transition in regards to the verse 20, but it's a contrast from the mentality of this world to what? The mentality of heaven. He says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a born-again Christian, you would know that your identity is in Christ. You would know that your citizenship is not here on earth. And if that's true, guess what? Your identity dictates your lifestyle, so you should be living that out. Does that make sense? Depending on the context you're from, your context where you're from might be different. I know I'm the oddball here. I moved here 2 years ago. California's a little different beast, if I could use that word. Probably a proper term would be they're different people, okay? But you guys get it. But Paul says, but our citizenship is in heaven. So wherever you live, where are you from, guess what? Your identity is in Christ. Your lifestyle should show that to reflect where we're going, right? Notice Paul says he's awaiting. In his mind, he's thinking of the end times. He knows that it's coming. He says that throughout Philippians. Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will complete it on what? That day, indicating the future. Paul even says, Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Do we have that mentality? We're waiting for the Savior to come for us. When's the last time you got excited for that? Yeah, I'm like you. It's been a long time. It's been a very long time. Right? But God gives us these glimpses. He gives us these tangible glimpses. You talk to a children, little children, and you gather them up and you say, hey, December 25th is coming. What happens to them? They're excited. You talk about a single man or a single woman, and they meet someone, and they say, hey, we're going to have save the date. They're going to be excited because they know the date's coming, right? Man, you guys are too quiet. I'm probably those who are married, I don't know what happened, but there was excitement there, right? Yeah, I better get some amens from the man and the woman. If you're not married, hey, hold on. The time will come, Lord willing. God gives us these glimpses of an anticipation of the future. Do you anticipate Christ coming? Or is it just a fairy tale? The end. Do we have that longing and the desire? Because I hope you do. Guess what? I'm guilty of it. I don't know the last time I was excited for Christ's return. I'm convicted by that. Paul goes on to close it off. The Lord Jesus Christ will transform our body to be like his by power, even to subject all things to himself. He's talking about his sovereignty. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, co-equal to the Father and the Holy Spirit, co-existent, the triune God. Jesus is going to have that power to transform our body. Guess what? That's talking about now? No, it's talking about the future. It's talking about glory, where there be no more sin, no more pain, no more suffering. There is a time that is coming, and we need to remind ourselves that though evil exists and is a reality, how do we interpret that with the Christian worldview? So Paul says, guess what? The Lord will come and he will change us. I hope you get the main point. Hopefully I articulated in such a way that Paul's goal in life is to be more and more like Christ Jesus while waiting for Christ's return. Is that your heart? Is that your bent? Do you expect Christ to come back? Do you look forward to the day you die? Because guess what? If Paul was articulating, forgetting what's behind and straining forward, being a model, that should be our bent. Let me give two closing thoughts, maybe a third one. The first one is this. I was talking about the past. In Philippians 3:13 and 14, Paul is saying, forgetting your past. And we talked about two areas. There's the positive side of looking in the past, maybe your culture, your upbringing. Paul says he was a Hebrew. He acknowledged that. That's a good thing. But in verse 7, he says, you know what? In comparison to Christ Jesus, he counted it as a loss. Are you so wrapped up and focused on your culture, your upbringing? You're from the South or... Yeah, we'll just skip that one. Whatever it is. You know, something I got to check with the Holy Spirit on the... He's like, no, don't do it. So I was like, all right, I won't do it. But your past. Are you so focused on the good things, the good old days, your success, that you keep on looking back? Or maybe that's not you. Maybe it's something that you did or someone did something to you that's your sin that you keep on looking past. Guess what? Bring that before Christ. I say, forgive me or help me to forgive so that I can strain forward, so that I can press on. Maybe that's not you. Maybe it's not looking back. Maybe you're in a season that is good. And we talked about examples in verse 17. Maybe you're having these struggles or issues and you need to find someone. If you're single, I would highly say a woman, find a godly woman. As a young man, find a godly man. And to ask them to lead you. Does that make sense? Maybe you're having marital issues. Guess what? That's okay. But don't stop there. Maybe you need to find a godly couple that could walk you through and you want to follow their example. Whether you're a single parent, whatever it might be, guess what? Paul says, not only follow my example, but there are other people. So if you're struggling with something, there's examples here. You have the elders, you have Pastor Fryer, you have other godly men here in the Mosaic Church. Or maybe there's a season in your life that God has raised you up and that you could do what Paul did. And say, hey, I want you to follow me as I follow Christ. That's not being cocky. That's not being, what's another word? Prideful. But if God's called you in that season to say, hey, I want you to follow me as I follow Christ, that's a good thing. Maybe that's the season in your life, is that you see people are hurting and in pain, that you can come alongside them. Again, I would caution a male to a male, female to a female. Maybe your marriage is going well and you see a marriage that's not going too well. You can come alongside them and say, hey, I want to come alongside you as I follow Christ. Because guess what? Everyone has pains and sufferings. Everyone has a season of that. But we need to be there for one another. So my hope and my aim in this message is that one thing that Paul says, forgetting what lies behind, and straining forward to what lies ahead for the goal, Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we come before you and just ask for your favor that the word that has spoken would resonate in our hearts, yet it would convict us to let go of the past and not allowing that to dictate our future, but that we would strain forward, that we would press on, that we take all our energy and effort to calculate our steps, to have this mentality, So whether we're following others or others are following us, that you would be glorified, Father. We pray that you would honor your word as it goes forth. Pray that you would cause us to be more like Jesus as we pursue him. As we exalt Christ, may that be our delight and our heartbeat. For your glory and our delight. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaiceasley.org.